Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. One of the best compliments I've ever had came a few weeks ago, just before Christmas, when my granddaughter said to me in all sincerity as she stroked my hair, "Grandma, you'd make a lovely Mrs. Claus in a play." Since Santa must be really ancient by now, I wasn't quite sure how to take this at first, but the more I thought about Mrs. Claus, I realised that films portray her as someone who has always remained in the background, directing all the glory and praise towards her husband, who has a far greater part to play. Not unlike John the Baptist in our Gospel reading today, who points away from himself to Jesus and says to the people around him, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John has already recognised the greatness of Jesus when he baptised him, and now he knows he must bow out of the picture, seize none of his glory, and direct the people's focus on him alone. Let's listen to a beautiful communion hymn sung by Kristen Getty called "Behold the Lamb."
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. Body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drank this cup that all may
Those words come from our reading today, which is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 1. Here's the first part from verses 29 to 35. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" I hadn't realized before now just how many paintings there are of John the Baptist, which show him pointing away from himself towards a lamb. And why did these artists, along with the gospel writer John, use this image to describe Jesus? Perhaps they had in mind the writings of a prophet called Isaiah, who once described a unique servant of God who would one day come to save his people and yet experience great suffering. For Isaiah wrote, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." But John, in his Gospel, suggests that Jesus came to be Saviour not only of his own people, but for the entire world. Jesus and John the Baptist knew each other from childhood, as their mothers were cousins and well acquainted with one another. John hadn't up to this point in time known for sure that Jesus was God's chosen servant, but he testifies here that God himself revealed it to him when he actually baptized Jesus. There must come some magical moments in theatre in the life of a casting director when a hopeful actor at an audition is suddenly recognised as the right person for the job. John the Baptist knew, without a shadow of doubt, that Jesus was the one. That song, sung there by Darlene Zeck, was called "My Jesus, My Saviour." Let's listen to the second part of that reading. The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Let's listen to a song from the film Sister Act, Whoopi Goldberg singing, "I Will Follow Him."
I will follow him, follow him wherever he may go, and near him I always will be, for nothing can keep me away. He is my destiny. Follow him. Ever since he touched my heart, I knew there isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high it can keep me
Many of you will have played the game Follow My Leader in your school playground when you were young, so you'll know that as well as following the leader, you have to go wherever the leader leads you, and also do whatever actions they direct you to do. A similar thing is happening here in the second part of this reading. Two disciples approach Jesus, having been directed to him by John the Baptist, and the first things they say to Jesus is, "Rabbi." They acknowledge Jesus as someone who has dignity and great knowledge, a master or doctor of the law. In asking him, "Where are you staying?" they don't just simply want to have a quick chat. What they mean is they want to go home with him and presumably sit at his feet and learn from him, to hear what he had to say and to follow his teaching. This is what disciples did then. But in the hustle and bustle of today's world, we don't seem to have time to be still and reflect, do we? Or for that matter, to be neighbourly or compassionate. Nor do we seem to respect wisdom and authority. Those with knowledge these days aren't always heeded or trusted anymore. Social media seems to be the new source of truth. But Jesus simply says to these two disciples, "Come and see." He invites them there and then to open their eyes. He invites us to do that today. Will we come and learn from him? Will we choose to follow him, like those disciples, and act upon his words? Here's a very challenging song, if you listen to the words very carefully. It's called, "Will You Come and Follow Me," from the Iona community.
Will you come and follow me?
Another one of the rules of the game Follow My Leader is that the leader always is at the front. He goes before us all the time. So says the chorus of this next hymn. Be not afraid, I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest. These are beautiful words as we journey on through life, not knowing what lies around the next corner. Christians believe that whatever we will have to go through in life, Jesus, God's own Son, has already passed that way, and that if we keep our eyes on him and look beyond ourselves towards him, as John the Baptist did, we will know his peace as we reach out to others as he did. What greater comfort can there be in the darkness than to see a light shining that draws us to it? A light which St. John described as a light that can never be extinguished, a light that will forever burn and bring hope to our world, Jesus himself. Here's that song, Be Not Afraid.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and I
final choice of song is one of my favourite songs. It reminds me of a story I once heard of a father and son, both fishermen, caught up in a storm at sea. They knew they weren't far from the shore, but they'd lost their bearings and in the dark couldn't see where the land was. At that very same moment, an old priest was getting dressed to go to evensong in his church on the hill. It was indeed a foul night to be out, and he was sure if he didn't turn up no one would know. But he decided to go anyway. Out at sea, the young lad suddenly pointed to a light being lit. He recognised the church on the hill. He knew it was the exact time of the evening service, and he and his father turned the boat in the direction of home and were saved. If your life seems dark and gloomy at this present moment in time, may the light of Christ appear now before your eyes to lead and guide you and bring you to a place of safety and peace as you focus upon it. That light being the light of the world, Jesus himself. Amen. An old proverbial saying tells us, it is better to light one candle than forever to curse the darkness. So here we finish with Townend and Jameson's Light of the World, sung by Kathy Burton, to bring our programme to a close. Bye for now.
The light of the world made history begin, spoke time into being, caused planets to spin, flung galaxies wide through infinite space to sing of his splendour and fathomless grace. The light of the world now shone as a man and walked through the valleys he'd carved with his hands, a servant to those he breathed into life. He felt our injustice and shared in our strife. Come, come, daughters and sons, look to the